This is the Fourth Trimester Fitness Podcast, helping moms reclaim the right to their pain-free, most functional, and athletic body now. Whether you had a baby this year, 5, or 20 years ago, it's never too late for you to heal, and you're in the right place. We're talking all things fitness, nutrition, mom life, mindset, and challenging the status quo on women's health during their fourth trimester. I'm your host, Lindsay Newman. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, I have Jessica London with me today, and I'm so grateful that she was willing to talk with me. I met Jessica through a common business mentorship program that we do, and I instantly was drawn to her because she is so incredibly smart, so full of great wisdom and knowledge. And she shares my love of helping women postpartum with their recovery. So Jess, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background, how you found this niche, and kind of who you are.
Yes, I'd love to. First of all, just thank you so much for having me on. I admire you just the same, and I hope you know that. So I am a doctor of physical therapy, and I initially started as an orthopedic physical therapist working in general outpatient and workers' comp, helping people return to work after injury. However, during that time, I ended up getting pregnant myself and then having a pretty unexpected and unplanned cesarean birth. And through that experience and through that journey myself, walking through my postpartum experience, I realized this massive gap in postpartum care for mothers. And I realized that I had worked with thousands and thousands of people recovering from surgeries, from injuries, as little as an ankle sprain and shoulder sprain, to as much as a whole total back surgery, total knee surgery, shoulder replacement, rotator cuff replacement, and all of them consistently had some form of rehabilitation care, follow-up guidance, return to exercise guidance, exercises provided to them, and just general support. And then after having a C-section myself and just basically being given a baby and saying, like, don't walk up the stairs, don't drive, don't carry more than your baby, and good luck. I was pretty shocked at this massive gap in care. And I thought it was just me. So I ended up talking to a few of my other mom friends and started realizing everything that they were struggling with, from pelvic floor symptoms, leakage, prolapse, just general core weakness, and just general overall subsequent injuries of back pain, hip pain, all of these things that moms were dealing with. And they were like, oh yeah, I just got 1 6-week checkup and everything was good. I didn't get any rehab guidance either. And I'm like, how did this happen? Like, how did, you know, an entire community of people just get swept under the rug when, you know, you sprain your ankle, you go to physical therapy and rehab, and you have a baby, you have tears, injuries, strains, strains, all that stuff, and you don't. And so for me, that was actually what spiraled me into pelvic health. And so, you know, years passed, I took multiple continuing education courses beyond my doctorate level. And so now I specialize as a pelvic floor physical therapist and work solely with the pregnant and postpartum population.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I think you say words like prolapse, and so many of our listeners don't even know what that is. And that's kind of shocking to me. I mean, I know that my own mom had, you know, 7 kids. And after she was done, she had to have a full hysterectomy. And, you know, that was super common, right? It was super common because there's no standard of care between pregnancies to make sure that your internal organs are secure. Can you just explain what prolapse is briefly so that people kind of have an idea of what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So the pelvic floor is sort of a group of muscles at the bottom of the pelvis, sort of like a bowl or C-shaped. And inside that bowl at the very bottom is 3 of your internal organs. It has your bladder up front towards your pubic bone. So if you're kind of thinking about what's my pubic bone, if you kind of touch the front of your pelvis, you can find your pubic bone, that front bone of the pelvis. Your bladder is nestled first right inside there, and then behind the bladder is the uterus, and then behind the uterus is the rectum. So those are our 3 internal pelvic organs that kind of sit and are supported by our pelvic floor. And when there is not enough support or integrity, strength, endurance, coordination, all of the things. And also if there was trauma to the pelvic floor where now that vaginal opening is greater, this is called the genital hiatus. So if this genital hiatus is wider or longer, you are at an increased risk for prolapse. So prolapse itself is when one or multiple of these organs sort of droop into the vaginal canal and put a lot of pressure down through that vaginal opening. So you might not know the term, but you might be thinking like, oh, I feel like I have pressure or some, you know, additional like feelings of something being stuck in the vaginal canal or just a lot of weight in that vaginal opening. Some people notice it daily, just walking around, and some people only notice it when they're toileting. So if they're having a bowel movement or they're needing to sit on the toilet for a prolonged period of time or weightlifting, that's when they notice these symptoms. So it can be a little bit different for everybody, but in general, that's what prolapse is.
Totally. I fondly refer to prolapse as the riding a horse feeling or the kicked in the crotch or bowling ball through the crotch, you know, those sorts of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it can kind of feel like a bulge or like almost if you have a tampon in and you just feel like that tampon's super heavy and it needs to be changed. That's sort of another feeling. And some people even sort of explain it as like a walnut, like just like I'm sitting on something that's like a walnut or like a ball. I'm sitting on something where there's a lot of pressure down there. And that's just depending on the degree, right? There's multiple degrees of prolapse. And so everyone's going to have a little bit of different symptoms. But if you are having like some pelvic heaviness or feeling like you just have like a little bit of a bulge feeling through that vaginal opening, that's a pretty good indication that there's likely some prolapse at play.
Yeah, for sure. So having a C-section and coming from being a doctor of physical therapy, helping all of these people, tell me, what was your recovery like? I mean, of course, you would know a little bit more about what to look for as far as prolapse and those sorts of things go during pregnancy and postpartum. But a lot of us moms, you know, just have no clue, like while we're pregnant, how to keep ourselves safe through our pelvic floor, through our core. That was my experience. I just became kind of a mess because I just thought I was doing the right things and didn't know better. So tell me, did you have, you know, a little bit more of that education going into pregnancy, obviously? How did that influence the choices you made during pregnancy and then postpartum after C-section? I mean, despite not being given the care that you needed, you must have had some knowledge that really made a difference in your specific recovery.
Yeah, this is such a great question too, because I think most people are often surprised at my answer. So just generally speaking, as a physical therapist, as someone who's been super active throughout her whole life, I naturally educated myself that remaining active through my pregnancy was really important. And weightlifting through my pregnancy was really important. So I actually didn't deliver until 42 plus four. So I was pretty active throughout my whole pregnancy. I know that's a whole nother story for a different time, but pretty active throughout my whole pregnancy until, you know, at least 39 weeks, where I then really started shifting towards more walking instead of weightlifting, more stretching and walking versus heavier weightlifting. But I was pretty active and remained strong and healthy without aches and pains throughout pregnancy. So number one, I think people are fearful to remain active during pregnancy, and being active and continuing to stay strong throughout your pregnancy is so important to reduce aches and pains, hip pain, back pain, sciatica, you know, pubic symphysis. All of this stuff is really related to weakness because your body is changing. And so we have to keep up with the changes. And so if you're not continuing to stay active throughout pregnancy, that's where we see a lot of these issues starting to pop up during pregnancy itself. So I did do that and had that knowledge bank. But flipping over to postpartum, I mean, after my C-section, I knew basic general principles of rehabilitation after a surgery, just surgery in general, right? Like I knew that it was really important, movement is important to reduce the risks of surgical complications, right? So when I had rehabilitated people in the past, even of total knee surgery, day one, we're getting them up and walking and moving if they can bear weight through that joint. Now, a C-section is not a intra-articular surgery. So weight bearing isn't an issue in this type of situation. So I knew that, generally speaking. And so I knew that staying moving and getting up and walking to reduce complications like blood flow or blood clots and to increase, you know, cardiovascular endurance, all of that was important. But also, like, you're not trying to go walk a marathon. So being super mindful of that tailored approach, I think, was where my physical therapy and rehabilitation knowledge came in. And what that looked like for me in the hospital was day post-op one, I was up and around my bed, but I was out of the bed for a C-section. And then day two, I was doing short 3 to 5 minute walks. So 500 yards, like, we're not talking about a whole lot. And in the first beginning part, I was using a walker, which was hilarious, right? Because you're like, I just had a baby and I'm using a walker. But then it was my husband supporting me. And I did 3, 4, 5 minute walks a day. And then I'd get back in bed and I'd rest. I knew the importance of elevating your feet and keeping your ankles pumping to reduce risk of complications and keeping the blood flow well. So I just, generally speaking, I knew that movement was going to be important for my healing and recovery. I also knew that after a major surgery, staying on top of pain control is also really important. And there was a couple days where I was like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I'll be good. And then you're like, whoa, I just had massive abdominal surgery. Like, I'm in a lot of pain. And so staying on top of pain control early on in postpartum, like, if you have a C-section, those first 3 to 5 days, like, it is important to stay on top of your pain control because you did have massive surgery. But then after that, like, I really didn't know a whole lot, because even in my doctorate program, like, even when we went through the entire physical therapy program, no one talked about moms recovering from vaginal or C-section births. Like, it was not talked about. We had one-hour pelvic floor lecture because it was a specialty of physical therapy, and the specialty was emphasized in a one-hour lecture, and that's about it. And it was just on, like, general pelvic floor disorders. It wasn't like, how do we actually rehabilitate a mom that had a vaginal or C-section birth? And also, I don't want anyone who's had a vaginal birth to be like, well, I need to get up walking, because it is also important to note vaginal birth recovery is very different than C-section birth recovery, right? Like, C-section birth recovery, we do want people up walking a bit, you know, that first week, not overdoing it, but short walks, 3 to 5 minute walks a day, right? But vaginal birth, we need to preserve the pelvic floor as much as possible from gravity being at play. And it was so stressed. So this is where we're trying to protect the pelvic floor a little bit more. And where, you know, those 5 days of bed rest, those first 3 to 5 days of light mobility in bed, but staying in the bed in a horizontal position where gravity is not at play on the pelvic floor, is important too. But just generally speaking, like, my personal experience with C-section recovery, I didn't know a whole lot after that. I knew, like, obviously I need to strengthen my core, but what's safe? What should I be doing? What exercises should I do? Like, what are specific postnatal exercises? And I really had no idea. I had to consult a pelvic floor physical therapist myself and get some additional feedback and education. But that's actually what made me even more angry.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, even as a doctor of physical therapy, like, I have no idea how to rehab from a C-section. I knew basic principles, and even my basic principles is not something like the average mom would likely know.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was able to start, like, desensitization on my scar and scar tissue mobility, but that's only because I spent years rehabilitating other people's scars on their shoulder and their knee. And I knew the importance of making sure that that scar tissue didn't adhere and that it was staying mobile and it was staying loose and that we didn't have any scar tissue to, like, you know, that was going to impact our range of motion and our strength. That was from me rehabilitating other people after post-op, but never a C-section mom. I never treated a mom from a C-section in all of my years of orthopedic rehab. I was my first patient, essentially.
That is shocking. That is so surprising to me to hear. Because you just, I guess, automatically assume that, you know, as a doctor of physical therapy, that you would cover that course. But what an oversight. What a huge oversight. Mm-hmm. And most moms with C-sections and vaginal deliveries alike, I think it's so fascinating that you were mentioning, you know, we have to protect the pelvic floor. I delivered vaginally all four of my kids. And I think as moms, we have this mindset because there's no care given of like, well, like act like it never happened and get on your feet and get home. And I remember after I had my second, I was pretty young, but I also, the culture was, you know, to just moms keep going. We just push through and we do that. And so I got home from the hospital after only 24 hours there and I was making lunch and I was picking up my house because I thought, you know, I'm the mom, this is what I have to do. And now I just have to dive back in. And we don't really give ourselves a chance to rest and relax. And as a result, I think we find ourselves in a lot more pain down the road later on than we had anticipated that we would. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. I genuinely believe that by not focusing and not having proper standards in place for rehabilitation care for vaginal birth and separately for C-section birth, we are contributing to pelvic floor dysfunction happening at a massive scale. So 1 in 3 moms will have some form of pelvic floor dysfunction, leakage, prolapse, pain with intimacy, hip pain, deep groin pain, all of these things. I genuinely believe that if we had better education throughout pregnancy, preparing for birth, because also labor can play a factor into this and vaginal births for pushing and stuff like that, different pushing strategies, different positions of birth, but then also postpartum recovery, depending on what type of birth method that you had is so important, right? Like someone who had a vaginal birth first degree tear is going to be very different than someone who had a vaginal birth third or fourth degree tear, and or someone is going to be very different that had a C-section. So we all need customized rehabilitation programs that are unique and specific to our birth method. And if we did this, I so believe that we would prevent a lot of this pelvic floor dysfunction that so many moms are silently suffering with because they feel like that's just what we're supposed to be doing. And that's just what happens after we have babies. And it's just so not true. And, you know, to speak onto that level, after I had, so my first son, I had a C-section. And 2.5 years later, I ended up having a home birth after cesarean. So I had a VBAC at home. And so I personally have walked through a C-section birth and postpartum recovery experience and a vaginal birth and postpartum recovery experience. And I can tell you firsthand, they are very different recoveries, drastically different recoveries. I felt at some point one birth method was easier to recover from, and then vice versa, the other birth method was harder to recover from. It was so different. I can't even stress that enough. And so it's so important that we have that individualized approach and that moms know that, you know, they have to protect themselves and they have to take time to heal, you know, at least give themselves a week at least where you're just really not focused on cleaning up the house and making meals and doing the laundry. And like, you kind of give your, and like a week isn't too much to ask, but really it can make or break your postpartum recovery experience. And I know that my moms that were up and moving after vaginal birth, like up and moving right away. Oh, I was grocery shopping. I went to the mall. I was supposed to stay active. I was supposed to be active, right? They're the ones that are suffering from pelvic floor dysfunction. It's not as much the moms that honored that time in recovery and started some pre-work during that first 6 weeks, mobility, light core strengthening, light reconnection to the pelvic floor, light scar tissue work. All of those moms that were more preventative, they are not dealing with pelvic floor dysfunction at 3 months, 6 months, 1 year postpartum. We are preventing it at the source.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it how sad that we do treat all of these births exactly the same and almost opposite, right? Where it's like you have a C-section and you're like, oh, I need to stay in bed. And that's what your mind tells you, right? Major surgery, stay in bed, rest, relax. When you're saying, actually, you need movement and vaginal birth, we kind of assume like, I didn't have it as hard as the C-section mom, so I should be up and moving and active. And that's just kind of backwards. That's fascinating.
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
Like you totally hit the nail on the head. It's like naturally we would think like, oh, the surgery person needs to stay in bed, but I didn't have a surgery. I just had a vaginal birth. So I'm going to get moving. Like your thought process is amongst many. That's how a lot of moms feel. Like, well, I didn't have a C-section. And it's just it's the principles of scientific tissue healing, right? Like when we have somebody that has surgery, movement is how we reduce post-operative complications and what we call bounce backs. So if a post-operative complication is going to happen, it's going to happen within the first week or 2 weeks. And if there's something that pops up, they're going to bounce back to the hospital. And so what prevents that is specific guidelines for rehabilitation, specific educational principles of what they should or shouldn't do. And I think this is where we miss the mark, because C-section births, you go home with a list of things that you're not supposed to do, right? Like, don't lift more than the baby. Don't lift the car seat. You can't drive. Don't go upstairs. That's what was told to me. Other moms weren't told that one. But like, you know, don't overexert yourself. But what about what you should be doing?
Yeah.
Like, we heard all you're not supposed to do, but what should we be doing? And then for vaginal birth, like, it's pretty nil. Like, I don't think you really get any.
Just do it all.
Yes. And it depends on your birth location, because I can absolutely say my hospital birth recovery was much less supported in terms of knowledge, education, and guidance for birth recovery than my home birth experience. And my home birth experience, my midwives were absolutely amazing. They were very well educated. They encouraged me strongly during pregnancy to have a plan in place. Who's going to help you the first 5 to 7 days? You need to be in bed those first 5 days. Like, they were very proactive in educating, planning, preparing, and also in birth recovery, making sure that I was resting after my vaginal birth, that I wasn't overexerting myself. And sure enough, when I did, that's when my pelvic floor symptoms populated as well. So,
yeah, well, that's so fascinating. I definitely have experience with midwives as well and loved the standard of care that they gave. I felt like it was very unique. When I was having my first, I was really young, and it's exactly like you said. I went to the hospital. They told me, you're going to have your baby today. And I about lost my mind because I was 21 barely and was like, are you sure? Are you sure? So yes, they were sure. I had my baby, and I will never forget when I was being discharged, feeling like I knew nothing. And honestly, the thought that was crossing my mind was, you're letting me go. Like, you're sending me away with this human that I don't know how to take care of, let alone take care of my body and kind of what's happened there. Like, I have no idea what to do. So I guess I'll have to ask women before me, who, like my mom or my sisters, or who have done these recoveries, but also their education was so limited, and they just kind of, you know, flew by the seat of their pants. And that's really sad. We need voices like yours who can educate and help people understand that pregnancy and delivery is something that you really, really have to consider, especially for just quality of life, let alone, you know, the field I work in, which is helping moms find a more athletic self, moms who love to lift weights and fitness. So getting to that point, it's like, if you skip over the rehab portion, you're going to find yourself coming back to it again and again and again, right?
Yes, absolutely. Like, when I have moms come to me that want to do those higher level tasks that you're mentioning, and I'm like, yeah, we'll get there, but not before we tackle pelvic floor and postnatal recovery first. And I don't care if you are 6 weeks postpartum or 6 years postpartum, if you never contributed the time to do this and you're experiencing a lot of these pelvic health symptoms like leakage, and no, it's not normal, right? Like, and pain with intimacy and having to run to the bathroom every hour to 2 hours and not being able to hold your pee or prolapse, right? Like, we cannot skip over that and just jump right to weightlifting and all of that fun stuff. Because we're missing the whole piece of postpartum recovery. And as you know best, Lindsay, like, the body changes so much throughout pregnancy and postpartum. So it's just really about finding the new rhythm and of the body and the way it's positioned and how our muscles length, right, tension relationship changes, and the strength of our muscles change, and the ratio and the balance of the muscles and all of that. It's so important to contribute to what, you know, pelvic health and core rehab.
For sure. My next question for you is, you know, and this, you will understand, but I think we've both worked with clients or maybe spoken with moms who essentially feed into that idea that it's not a big deal, right? Like, oh, I pee my pants a little, but not much. So it's okay, right? It's not a big deal. Or maybe they don't realize that they have some of these issues quite like, you know, you or I would be like, wow, that's not normal. You shouldn't have to deal with that. And so I think we fall into this level of complacency sometimes as women where it's like, these are the cards I've been dealt and this is kind of how it is, but it's really not that bad. And for some moms, it is a lot more extreme than others. However, what would you say in regards to the fact that if left untreated, if you don't go through those rehab scenarios, what are we worried about moving forward, our quality of life? And, you know, just give us some insight there.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that, you know, we often feel like, I'll just wait and see. People take this wait and see approach. Like, I'll just wait and see if it still gets better. If you're waiting and seeing for longer than 2 or 3 months, like, it's not going to get better. Sure. Let's just be real. And also, like, why are we taking the wait and see approach? That's basically telling us, like, I don't care as much. Like, I'll just see if this becomes a bigger problem. And that's just the wrong thought process in general. Like, we need to be on top of it and more preventative versus taking this wait and see approach. Because if everyone took this wait and see approach, we wouldn't be in a public health epidemic. Or, I mean, I guess everyone has taken the wait and see approach. And so we are in a public health epidemic, if you will. And so my encouragement is that if you are struggling with any of that, get some support, like get some guidance, get a coach that's going to be able to, you know, take you to the next level, get a pelvic floor therapist that's going to be able to target why this is happening to you. Because oftentimes we feel like we're too far gone or there's no hope or help for me and I just have to live with this. And quite honestly, like within 4 months of being able to actively participate in a program, we can pretty much eliminate majority of the symptoms. And I think if more moms heard that, they're like, you mean I just have to put in the work for 4 months? Like we can actually see improvements. And I think it's that hope piece or that unknowing that it is actually easier to fix than we think it is. We really just need to target specific exercises and just general overall strength, reconnection and strength, much easier to fix than we think. And so I think if we can spread that message of hope, that there is hope and healing for you, that you don't have to live with it, that you don't have to just think that, you know, you're just going to suck it up and wait and see, we can spread a better message of hope and healing. And I know that, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Did I answer it?
Yeah, it does. I think also a lot of moms don't realize that, say, you leave pregnancy with a diastasis recti, you know, an abdominal gap of 3 fingers width. And over time, often, you know, diastasis will improve within, what is it, the first couple of months, a little bit on its own, right? But after that, mm-hmm. it requires some rehab. And Yes. Is that correct?
Yeah, so really 50% of moms will have some form of regrowth within 6 weeks postpartum. So at 6 weeks, if you still have a 3-finger gap or even like 2 on the verge of 3, then you should have some focused attention to work on. So some moms will just heal better than others. One, I think that is hugely at part with what did they do with those last 6 weeks, mm-hmm. right? How did they manage their pressure, their internal pressure system? Are they bulging up through that? Are they able to control? What's their coordination of the muscles look like? Are they bearing down? Like there's so many layers to diastasis. And there's also so many layers to treating it as well, because someone can have a 3-finger gap and manage it really well and have great coordination. And then other person can have like a 1.5 and have terrible posture, terrible strength control, terrible management of it. And it could be really affecting their pelvic floor symptoms or their abdominal control.
Sure.
So I think no matter what, participating, whether you have diastasis at play or not, is because it's not just about the number. It's really about like the whole system working together. Right. But you are definitely right in your thought process and like the thinking of the statistics of some people are going to be just better off based off of genetics and a whole lot of other lifestyle factors.
Sure. I think what I want to point out too is that despite feeling like, yeah, I'm okay, I my ab separation's closed a little bit. For me, what I've noticed is that if you don't understand the recovery piece, then you don't understand the protection piece. So moving forward, you might not have symptoms very badly, right? Pelvic floor dysfunction, it's not horrible, or ab separation, it's okay, it's totally fine. But down the road, because you never learned how to manage that intra-abdominal pressure, you never learned how to keep yourself safe, that can progressively get worse. Prolapse can get worse. Years down the road, diastasis can get worse. Leaking can get worse. And you'll wonder why. And most women will chalk it up to age, right? I had babies and now I'm just getting older and my body just is falling apart because that's what happens when you get older. But I think that's the frustrating part, is that those are the women that I find are a little bit harder to reach currently while we try to spread this message, are the ones that feel like I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. And they are right now, probably. But will they be down the road? Do they understand the mechanics of their own body and how to keep themselves safe? That's in question, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say it's like rebuilding the foundation of a house. Like if you're going to go build a house, you're not just like starting with the walls. Like you have to build the foundation first. And because there was a traumatic event, yes, birth is beautiful. Yes, birth wasn't designed to be the way that it is. But yes, it's also a traumatic event. Muscles were torn, muscles were stretched. There may or may not have been a surgery at play. There was trauma to the body.
Yes.
Right? Physical trauma to the body. So we have to treat it just like the ankle sprain client, right? Like, or the shoulder sprain client. Like we have to rehabilitate the body, because if we're not rebuilding the foundation, then we're building it on a faulty foundation. And then anything that you do on top of that is sort of rickety.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it might not be as stable. And what happens is like, it might hold up for a while, as you've mentioned, but what happens when a big gust storm and a big storm comes through, like it's going to blow the house down, right? Because you didn't build it on a strong foundation. And so, and you know, when it's like, might be 4 years postpartum and then all of a sudden their back gets thrown out. I'm doing air quotes. They throw their back out and then they kind of help themselves to the point of no longer being in pain, but not actually getting stronger. And then what happens is 6 months to 12 months later, they throw their back out again.
Stop reading my diary. Just, gosh.
Right? It's just like this cyclical cycle. And truly, it is all built off of strength. You have to build strength in the body and you have to recover from a traumatic event. And if you don't, we're not just trying to meet the previous standards. We're trying to surpass the previous standards. Yes. From a load principle standpoint of the tissue. And the body's tissue will be injured if the load or the injury is greater than the tissue can tolerate. So if we want to think about it from like a very nitty gritty perspective, we need to build tissue tolerance in the body so that the body can withstand a greater load or greater force of transfer to the body when and if that ever comes. That could be quickly having to grab your kid because the car's coming. That could be trying to grab more groceries than you probably should have outside of the back. It could be lifting to go pick up a pencil, but that's when the body's tissue tolerance said like, nope, we're done. Like we've tried to max out for you as long as we could.
Yeah.
And now we need some strength rebuilds. And so, you know, you also mentioned, and I want to address this quickly, is as women get older, their symptoms get worse. And number one is because we're not continuing to build strength and to activate the muscles, to keep the nervous system going, and to making sure that the body is continuing to stay active and strong. Because what happens is as we age, we get weaker naturally. After like age 26, I think it is, like bone mineral density goes down. So what we need to do is we need to continue to strength train and we need to continue to get stronger, because we already know the body is going to naturally regress and get weaker. So we have to continue to play that dance with it to say, I'm going to put in effort so that that slow regression can happen way slower. And then women hit menopause and all of a sudden their leakage gets way worse. All of a sudden their prolapse symptoms gets way worse. And this is around the time where a lot of women start having hysterectomies, because all of a sudden they hit menopause and their estrogen progesterone levels shift. And naturally, because of that, we have decreased weakness in the pelvic floor, decreased laxity. That's what decreased estrogen does to the pelvic floor. And if that happens and we didn't rebuild the foundation of the house, we're already starting at a very low point. But if you rebuild the foundation and continue to keep the house strong and the foundation strong, when you hit menopause, you won't have as much recoil, if you will. You won't have as much of a massive blow to the pelvic floor, if you will, as another person who never did that work.
Right.
So to your point, exactly, like you've got to do the work initially, but you got to keep it up. Like we got to keep it going.
Yeah. And it's important for everyone. Yeah. I want to shift gears into kind of our last topic of conversation. I really wanted to hear you talk about this a little bit. So Jessica and I both, we coach clients one-on-one. And for me, I am a personal trainer. I was trained and got my certification for postpartum by a doctor of physical therapy, Sarah Duvall. Love her. She's fantastic. And did a lot of other specialty courses as well outside of that system. I was just a mom and found that, you know, I was completely underserved based on what I wanted to do with my body, with my life. And I couldn't. And it was extremely upsetting. And Jess, you came from the healthcare system where it was like, I'm serving clients, but now I don't really know how to serve moms within the system. Because if it's fair to say, the healthcare system, as far as postpartum care goes, is a little broken, right?
Definitely.
So Jess and I both take clients one-on-one and we coach virtually. And I love that approach. And I wanted to hear you talk about just why you had to move outside of the healthcare system, how you're hoping to change the system, because ideally everybody gets the same level of care, right? And we all are educated and served at a higher level. But what kind of pulled you out of that and brought you to coaching outside of the system?
Yeah, absolutely. I think number one is it just not being a recognized need from a lot of different providers. And that is really disheartening because we know the position we are. We know the massive pelvic health epidemic that we're currently living in with multiple generations. It's really sad, but there's still old doctors who are old doctors doing their old ways of thinking and practicing. Okay, so that's number one. But what I found most is a difficult. First, they're not going to be the ones proactively telling you to go to pelvic floor therapist or to focus on postnatal recovery and pelvic floor therapy. So you sort of have to end up doing that your research yourself unless you have a great provider. Okay. Then we have moms that are saying, I need support, I need help. And they're asking their doctors for referrals to pelvic floor therapists, for programs, for education. And the providers are just telling them, just wait another 6 months, and if it gets bad, come back to me. Or I'm hearing my clients go to their doctors saying, I'm having pain with sex. And they're like, well, you probably just need to relax more. Why don't you just have a glass of wine before you resume? And it's like, this is our healthcare advice that we're giving people. Just relax more, or just wait 6 months and come back to me if it continues to get worse. But like, generally speaking, that is the way our healthcare system is set up. It is set up for sick care, not healthcare. It is set up for solving issues and slapping band-aids on it and not preventative care. So I feel like the only way that I was going to be able to meet more moms where they're at sooner, whether that be during pregnancy, really early postpartum, helping them from the minute they have a baby all the way up until the first few years postpartum, was getting outside the system, because the system wasn't really supporting me. And I don't want to knock everyone, because there are great providers out there, but majority speaking, they aren't actively referring to pelvic floor. They're not actively understanding that every single mom needs rehabilitation. Like, that is so important. And that's just not a general consensus in the healthcare system right now. And it's really hard to get referrals. Some doctors won't even refer. Then when they get to the referral, the pelvic floor physical therapist, some insurance companies won't accept certain diagnoses. And this is based in, oh, that's normal. I'm not going to pay for that insurance visit because she had a baby. Of course she's leaking. We're not recognizing yet on a like, you know, United States global, if you will, because I don't want to say global, other countries are doing postpartum care much better than us. But in the United States and within our insurance company and systems and with our doctors, we're not recognizing it as a massive issue that needs solving yet, all collectively. So a lot of patients or clients end up fighting with insurance companies for specific diagnoses, and healthcare workers and pelvic floor physical therapists, occupational therapists specifically, are getting super frustrated with the system because they're just trying to help people, but the insurance company won't accept the diagnoses. So what that's doing is it's driving a lot of healthcare providers who genuinely want to help people to go outside of the insurance system and to go direct pay or cash pay. And so that's where I landed myself when I first started as a mobile pelvic floor physical therapist, going to mom's homes as early as 2 weeks postpartum, and then also additionally doing online virtual work to work with people all over the country, all over the world that were not being able to get the access and care that they needed, that were raising their hand saying like, yeah, I'll pay for this because I know that this is important. I'm so sick and tired of leaking. I'm so sick and tired of not knowing what to do after I have a baby. Or they're coming from the preventative side and saying, I want to prevent pelvic floor dysfunction in postpartum, so I'm going to work with you in pregnancy and postpartum to prevent this from happening. And that's where going outside of the system can help. You know, we as healthcare providers, it's really sad, but as healthcare providers, we got into healthcare to help people. And what we're finding, and I can't speak for everyone, but a lot of us are finding that inside the healthcare system, we're not actually helping people as much as we really want and can't feel the potential is there. So a lot of us are going outside of that system. And so we can't change it from within because it goes way high up and it's way deeper and politically driven. But if we get outside of it, we can make massive changes. And the other thing too, to virtually, to speak to, you know, Lindsay's program and, you know, our virtual programs is, it's virtual is like where it's at. And I know that you probably agree with me, right, Lindsay? Especially for moms.
I do, totally.
Yeah, because it eliminates barriers. Because what I found in person when I was treating people outside the healthcare system, direct pay, you know, people were able to get reimbursed by their health insurance or HSA, health shares, all of that. But instead, we found that, or I found that working with people in person had a lot of limitations and barriers because the mom got sick or the babies got sick or there was, you know, she didn't have childcare and she was just like not ready to feel like she could get in the car. Their baby hates the car seat. She just doesn't want to deal with it one more time. And so there were so many barriers to continuation of care and making sure that moms went through the whole continuum, because you can have two or three visits and like, it's great, but tissue healing doesn't actually happen. Tissue growth really doesn't happen to like at least 8 weeks of consistent, active, you know, effort. So we really need moms for a few months. We need moms for, you know, 3 to 4 months to be in this program consistently with us. And that's important because adherence was low in terms of in-person or even mobile. I was even going to moms' homes and adherence was still low. So we switched it to virtual, and I switched to virtual mostly, and you know, you do as well. And adherence, accountability, you know, excitement, participation, everything went way up and moms were getting better way faster, which is counterintuitive than what you think would happen. But because we eliminated the barriers that were limiting moms from getting the care and access that they needed, they actually got better faster and quicker and saw results sooner. And now that's all I do, virtual, because I just so believe in it so much. And moms were using their own tools in their own toolboxes, feeling like, I'm feeling empowered because I did this by myself. I had a guider and a coach. But as a mom, when you're doing virtual work, you're doing it all by yourself. Like, we're supporting and guiding you, but it's your body that's doing it. You're not submitting to anyone else, thinking that anybody else is healing you. You're helping yourself heal yourself. And that's why virtual is so cool as well.
Right. I love that. I also think that moms just in general struggle with barriers. Like no matter how old your kids are, right? We come across a barrier and then it's quick to be like, I can't be creative in this scenario because then I'll be a bad mom if I'm trying to focus on serving myself in this moment and not my child when they need me, or not doing X, Y, and Z for so-and-so. And so I think that that is such a good point that, you know, not having so many barriers and being able to understand like, okay, I can make a virtual visit happen for a minute here. And then on my own time, I'm going to do my exercises. I'm going to refer back to the virtual material given to me, almost like a collegiate course, really is essentially what we want to give our clients, is that opportunity for them to teach themselves and know themselves. I think that something I love to say, and you might agree, is that hopefully after people work with us, they don't have to have another postpartum trainer ever again. You know what I mean? That they stay with us, or they understand their body to a new level, and they've been educated. That's the goal. And it's hard to do within the healthcare system. So I just really, I appreciate you. And I think that most people within the system, like you said, are trying to do good. They're trying to do good. But until voices outside the system get a little louder and, you know, approach this wave of change that moms desperately need, then it's going to be hard, like you said, to change it from the inside out.
Yeah. And I just want to lastly, like, really add is it also starts with moms making themselves a priority and saying, yes, I will take care of this. Because, you know, Lindsay and I can stand up here and do a million podcasts and show up on Instagram and do the Facebook, but if it's not mom stepping forward to say, yes, I'm willing and ready to receive the help and support and guidance, it doesn't run. So I really do believe it happens with moms. Like, moms first making themselves a priority, saying, yes, I'm worth this change. Yes, I'm worth this effort. Yes, I'm worth this financial investment. And then when that happens, other moms look to them as guidance, and other moms look up to them because,
yes,
like, that's what I want to say is, like, be the leader, like, be the leader, new mom, like, go out and do it. And then tell all your friends about it, because that's what's actually going to change how moms recover postpartum. It's not going to be because your doctor all of a sudden gave you a 6-week exercise program from 0 to 6 weeks before they see you again. It's not going to happen that way. And not for another 10 years, I don't think, personally.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen by moms showing up for themselves, by making this physical, financial, emotional investment in their bodies and saying, yes, I'm ready to take this next step. And then you being the change that the system needs, and you leading that change and telling all your mom friends and referring all your mom friends, because that's actually what's going to change this huge epidemic that we keep talking about, this massive gap in care.
Absolutely. And I think all of us want that for our daughters and feel like we don't know how. So Jessica just gave you the golden message, right? You've got to show up for yourself and value yourself enough to realize that you do deserve the best of rehab, the best of care moving forward for your quality of life, so that you can show up powerfully as a mom for your husband and your kids and your sisters and friends, whoever it is, right? So I couldn't agree more. Jess, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate your wisdom. You can follow Jess on Instagram. Her handle is @yourpostpartumpt, and she's a good one you want in your feed. She's fantastic. So thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you.
Yes. Thanks, Lindsay, for having me. I could literally talk to you for hours about this. I appreciate you so much. And I'm so excited for what you're doing with this platform.
Perfect. Well, I mean, maybe down the road, we'll do another go at it. Different topic. Okay. All right, Jess, have a good one.
You too.
You've been listening to the Fourth Trimester Fitness Podcast. We hope you feel empowered to take your health into your own hands and become your own greatest advocate. If you'd like more information on how you can get help to eliminate back pain, heal ab separation, and stop leaking, please be sure to follow along on Instagram @LynzCNewman or apply for one-on-one training and nutritional coaching via the link in this podcast description.